Blog Talk Radio.
Up, everybody, and happy Halloween! Welcome to a special edition of Sports of a Legend. I'm with my co-host Macaulay Matthew. I'm of course William Ramal. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
Nothing much, man. You know, happy to be hanging out with you and everybody. You know, on the other side of the airwaves. Today.
It's good to hear. Halloween night.
That's right, man. So I'm glad you're going to be here. And thank you again, ladies and gentlemen, for sticking around, spending your Halloween, the rest of your Halloween with me and Mac. And yeah, we got a busy show today. We're going to talk about the Dodgers winning their first championship in 33 years, I believe. What else? I'm trying to think. We're also going to talk about the Mets finally getting a new owner in Steve Cohen. You know, finally, the Wilpon era is over. We're going to discuss that. We're also going to, unfortunately, talk about the Jets trying to pull off a miracle, you know, and defeat the reigning champions, Kansas City Chiefs. We're also going to talk about the Giants. You know, they're going to be playing Monday night, and then, you know, talk a little, our wrestling, WWE, with their Hell in the Cell pay-per-view that went down Sunday. The TNA is Bound for Glory to happen last Saturday, and the AEW's Full Gear pay-per-view that's coming up next week, this Saturday. But most importantly, we love to hear from you, and you guys are the most important part of the show, so feel free to let your voice be heard. The number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. But before we get down to business, I think, you know, we should first talk about the passing of, a movie icon. Because, you know, of course, you know, on this show we talk sports and entertainment, everything else. And, a movie icon just passed away. And, of course, I'm talking about the late, great Sean Connery. You know, the man who, in my opinion, he's the best James Bond ever. You know, he starred in, many notable films such as, you know, Indiana Jones and The Last Crusade as Indiana Jones' father. He also starred in Untouchables with Kevin Costner, Andy Garcia, and Robert De Niro, where he won the Oscar. And, the list goes on and on. So, you know, my thoughts and prayers go out to his family. I know he lived a long and rich life, 90 years old, but, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, he's one of the greatest actors in the last 50 years. And, yeah, my condolences go out to him and his family, you know. Definitely an icon and best known for his performances as James Bond in those 007 movies. So, which I still need to catch up. You know, I definitely need to go back. I've seen some of them as a kid.
Right.
But, like, you know, as a kid, like, you don't really fully understand, you know, movies like that, you know, or right. appreciate movies like that as a kid. So I want to see them as an adult to get a better understanding and appreciation mm-hmm. for them, you know?
Yeah, and plus those movies weren't even really targeted for kids, really.
So. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, my parents, like, you know, my parents were irresponsible, so.
But yeah, man, he's the man that made, you know, that role iconic, you know, Bond, James Bond. You know, he the whole demeanor, the swagger, you know, he's the one that put James Bond on the map. You know, when I think of James Bond, I think of his portrayal. You know, his first one was in, 1972, Dr. No. And then he started, his last time he played it was 1983, Never Say Never Again. But that movie wasn't canonized as his last film because there was a contract dispute where there was two movies in 83. Roger Moore played his last film at that time, and he played this film. So his last quote-unquote official movie would be Diamonds Are Forever in 71. So, I mean, again, this guy has his list of accolades, you know, precedes, you know, itself. So, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, definitely, rest in peace.
But, moving on to baseball. And the big news is congratulations to the LA Dodgers. You know, they finally got the elusive title. I think this was their seventh overall and their sixth since leaving Brooklyn. So, you know, congrats to them. You know, they had a hard-fought series. They dominated the Rays, you know. Other than the Rays having that magical win in Game 4, I mean, they basically dominated that series.
No question. No question. The Dodgers showed why they were the best team throughout the season. The best record, you know, all that talent, you know, all that good pitching, you know, they definitely deserve to win it this year. You know, they've been knocking on that door for the last 4 or 5 years. Going to World Series and NLCS championships, but they've always come up short. So this year they had to get, you know, they had to win it all. And they did that, you know, even in the shortened season. You know, I know a lot of people are going to say, oh, you know, they won it, but it's, you know, they won it in a short season. There should be an asterisk next to their championship. It doesn't matter because these other teams, as you said, they play the same amount of games. You know, and they had the same path, you know, towards the World Series, like the Dodgers did. And the Dodgers just end up being the last team standing in the end, holding up that trophy. So, you know, congrats to them. A well-deserved championship.
Yeah, absolutely. You hit it right on the head. They deserve it. There shouldn't be any asterisks. I mean, they played 60 games just like everybody else, barring – if there's a, you know, a game that got postponed that never got made up, you know. But other than that, everybody played the same games. You know, they fought hard. You know, they've been the gold standard of the National League, you know, for many years. So, you know, they finally broke through to the other side and got that title, you know, that elusive title. Their first title since 1988. So, You know, kudos to the LA Dodgers and to the diehard fans that are, you know, out there. Because obviously, you know, the Dodger fans have been known to be like fans who, you know, who don't really care about, you know, sports that much. They just come early and come late and leave early. You know, that's the stereotypical knock on Dodger fans. But you know, to the diehard Dodger fans who bleed blue, you know, I salute you and the players. Except for the only person that I have issue with that, you know, basically made them winning the championship, you know, I can't even think of the words to say. Like he, you know, painted their victory. Or I should say their celebration. yeah, overshadowed their victory is my former Met player Justin Turner. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand where he's coming from. You know, this is his first ever championship. You know, he doesn't want to be robbed of him, you know, the way he envisioned ever since he was a little kid, because he grew up a Dodger fan. You know, this is his boyhood dream to win a championship, you know, with the Dodgers. You know, I understand that he had the vision of, you know, kissing his wife, hugging his teammates, celebrating on the field. But, however, he has to be responsible. You know what I mean? Even though the Dodgers got the elusive W in the World Series, which, you know, gave Dave Roberts as a manager his first championship as a manager, and you know, obviously Clayton Kershaw's first championship as a player, you know, having that knock of being a guy who's been a so-so pitcher in the postseason, even though he has a Hall of Fame, career, especially in the regular season. You know, he got vindicated, you know, for, you know, pitching good in the World Series, you know. But, you know, Justin Turner, man, I mean, come on, he knew he had the COVID, man. He should have just been responsible and not celebrate with his teammates, you know, just, you know, do a message and, you know, thank the fans, thank the teammates, you know, as much as he wanna be out there with his teammates. You know, he and the fans, you know, he has to be responsible. He has to, you know, social distance. But, you know, this should be, and, you know, he should have just said, like, this will be, give him an extra motivation, you know, to win another championship with them next year. You know, he could have said, did something like that. But no, he had to get his kick and eat it too. You know, I mean, I understand he wanted to get his moment of finally, you know, celebrating, you know, the adulation of him, you know, all the hard work he, you know, paid off, you know, of him, you know, finally playing and winning the championship. But come on, it's no excuse, especially in this year where, you know, people are dying out here because of this COVID. You know, he should have just, you know, he should have just been, you know, just social distance and, you know, that's what he should have done. I mean, you know, what's your thoughts?
Yeah, it was definitely reckless on his part for him to break COVID protocol that was put in place by MLB. You know, they told him, do not go on the field after he was taken out. And he proceeded to go on the field during that celebration, shake teammates' hands, hug them, kiss his wife. He did have his mask on that time, but other times I saw pictures where he removed it, putting everyone on that field in harm's way. So Justin Turner deserves all the criticism that's being handed out to him right now, because that was a very selfish act. And who knows? There may be people that were on the field that have been affected with it just because of his actions. So, you know, it was definitely a stupid move, a selfish move by him, and he needs to be disciplined harshly by MLB. I mean, they need to suspend him, you know, for a number of games beginning next season, because that it was just irresponsible on his part. Very irresponsible. I mean, there's millions of people dying from this virus, and you've tested positive and you're going to go do that? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know what he was thinking.
Man, he was just thinking about you know, having his big moment, you know, and he literally threw caution to the wind, endangered people's lives and health, you know, by you know, going out there when he shouldn't.
Yeah, it was just a very selfish act.
Absolutely. But, you know, shifting gears to act that wasn't selfish, and I'm talking about Uncle Steve Cohen, the guy who's gonna bring all Met fans.
You call him Uncle now?
Well, that's what they. That's how
he, I've been, he's related to you now. Oh, okay.
Well,
I didn't know that.
That's how I've been reading. People have been calling him Uncle Steve Cohen because he's gonna bring, you know, my fans everywhere, you know, some Christmas gifts underneath the orange and blue Christmas tree this year, you know, with vision of sugar plums dancing in their heads, you know. So, you know, the rumor is now official. You know, Steve Cohen is the new Mets owner. You know, he passed all the he secured the brass rings. He leaped over all the rings of fire to get this opportunity. You know, that he had the agreement with the Mets late last year. They vetoed it, and then afterwards then it was like this whole Survivor / Big Brother type, you know, obstacle course he had to do to outlast J-Lo's group and Blitzer and I forgot the other group. A group, was it Wolf? I can't really remember. Harris. I think it was Blitzen and Harris, I think it was. The guys who owned the 76ers and Steelers and I forgot, the Devils. They had a group too that they wanted to buy the Mets also, and he outlasted them. And then afterwards, then in what was it, September, he finally got secured the rights to negotiate with the Wilpons exclusively. And then, you know, of course, A-Rod and J-Lo, you know, they bowed out, and you know, they tipped their cap and, you know, respect the thing. And then after a few days later, then they're like, they're going to fight tooth and nail to try to get, you know, try to get the opportunity again. And then now here we are. And then afterwards, then they revealed, oh, you know, all Cohen has to do is get the 30 owner vote. Like, he had to get 23 out of the 30 owners to approve it. So then, you know, for like at least a month, we've been waiting as Mets fans, is it going to go through? And as it goes, and each time it gets closer and closer, then they reveal, oh, wait, he has to pass a 7 owners committee, executive owner committee. Then it's like this other 8 or 9 person, another group of owners. Then when we finally found out this week that they're gonna have the owners, the 30 owner meeting, then de Blasio came out of nowhere, hit the RKO on the Mets fans, and said, you know what, you know, we own Citi Field, it's city property, no pun intended, I assume, and they were, you know, he's gonna see, you know, if there's grounds whether or not they're gonna let him get it or not. And then there was a report, a rumor saying that de Blasio called the owners and said that he doesn't want Cohen to get it. Then de Blasio said that, no, he's just doing regular protocol. This is not personal. So then afterwards, like around, 1:30 yesterday, then they revealed that, you know, that the owners – vote, you know, approved of him getting the ownership. I think he won like maybe 26 out of, he had, I think, 26 votes, I think I heard, 26 out of, and 4 vetoes, which I assume the White Sox owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, he vetoed it, which that was the rumor for many days that he's one of the proponents of him not getting it, and apparently he's friends with A-Rod. So, and not to mention, you know, his Bulls killed my team in the 90s, so he, you know, this guy wanted to see me. And as I'm speaking, I'm watching SNY, and they're showing Jordan. the irony. But I digress. Like, you know, so basically, you know, it was just a, and then, you know, it was like a whole roller coaster. And afterwards, once the owners approved it, then maybe like, I don't know, a half hour later afterwards, then de Blasio, you know, says there's no objection to the ownership taking over. And then, like that, the soap opera of Steve Cohen finally owning the Mets, you know, is that's that part of the saga is over. Now, like Anakin Skywalker said in, I think, Revenge of the Sith, now the fun begins. And now the Mets have easily the richest owner in baseball. This guy, he's richer than the top three owners combined. This guy's a lifelong Mets fan. This guy is, you know, rumored to be really committed to turning this team around, you know, donating money to charities, you know, repaying the employees that lost their money or got furloughed or fired, you know, because of this pandemic. He's going to pay them in full, you know, to, you know, back to pre-COVID stuff. And he's going to pay them during the break. You know what? Like the contractors, even though that they wouldn't be working at this time, he's going to pay them. So this guy, you know, he looks like he got it right. And then another thing, he's going to, you know, spend some money on the analytics. Because the other top teams, they had 20 analytic people. And reportedly the Mets only had like 6 people doing analytics. So, you know, this guy, you know, he's going to hire Sandy Alderson. So it looks like he's not only going to spend the money, but he's going to spend it wisely. And that's all you could ask for a guy, because you can't expect everybody to get everybody, you know, to come here. Because free agents have free will. So they have, you know, they have a choice to and say whether they want to play in New York or not, which is rumored that Realmuto doesn't want to come to New York, but we'll see about that. But, with all that said, what's your thoughts, Mac? And I don't know if you heard, Cashman was one of the people who approved of him getting it, Cohen getting, you know, getting the opportunity. So what's your thoughts on everything?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I thought he was going to be approved. You know, I didn't see anyone, you know, declining it. You know, it helps MLB. Pretty much, you know, when a big market team like the Mets are good, you know, that helps MLB and all the other teams, you know, bringing financially. So they had to approve it. You know, I know some people's thought process was, well, you know, they don't want another big market to have, you know, a $1 billion owner taking free agents away, you know, from their teams. But when you have these big market teams being successful and spending money, it helps all of baseball. So it makes sense, you know. When the Mets are good, you know, that helps out the whole National League. So they had to approve it, you know, if there's to be smart. And I think it's a good move. I think he's going to spend money. We'll see ultimately if, you know, these free agents decide they want to come here. Mm-hmm. You know, because, I mean, you could spend as much money as you want, but if free agents do not want to come here, that's another story.
Right.
You know? So, but, hey, he's got a lot of money to spend, so it's just a matter of, you know, getting these free agents to come here and then building a good team around these young players and, you know, having the Mets compete and go to the playoffs year in, year out. But as far as Cashman approving, I mean, the Yankees, you know, they want that friendly competition between the Mets, you know, and they got money of their own, you know. We're not worried about the Mets' money, what's in the Mets' pockets, you know. So no big issue, but, you know, congrats to the Mets. You know, guys definitely deserve it. And hopefully, you know, Cohen will make the Mets, you know, a great team again.
Amen. I agree with everything you said. You know, like you said, the Yankees have their money. You know, them Mets having money is not gonna subtract from their wallet.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And it's gonna be interesting. You know, in free agency, you know, Mets are actually players instead of the Wilpon era where they're just quote unquote monitoring the free agents, and then, you know, they just want to be, you know, have meaningful games in September,
right,
instead of having, you know, historic and memorable games in October. But yeah, man, you know, I'm excited. You know, I mean, it's long overdue. You know, for years, you know, for two decades, man, the Wolpons, for almost two decades, they've owned a team, and only a handful of times they actually spend the money, you know. And, you know, hopefully Cohen will be a man of his word and, you know, spend the money wisely. And, you know, with Alderson, you know, being hired and rumored they might hire other executives, you know, to join their front office, you know, there'll be bigger and brighter things for the Mets. So, you know, I think they definitely got to go after Springer. You know, he improves the defense, you know, and he gives them a legit leadoff hitter that they could use. You know, obviously, Real Muto would be great, but there's rumors Real Muto don't want to come to New York. So, if not, then they're going to have to go after a veteran guy like maybe James McCann, who's always been a good defensive catcher, but, you know, he started to hit a little bit this year. Or you could even do a controversial thing, who I think is going to sign with the Yankees, to be honest with you. Go after Yadier Molina, old nemesis, you know.
That'd be interesting.
That would be an interesting thing to do. And then, last but not least, go after the big fish, Trevor Bauer. You know, the wild card. You know, the guy who's not afraid to speak his mind. I think I heard he has issues with Cole, but you know, money talks. You know, if they set aside their differences and, you know, focus on winning, you know, they'll put it aside, you know. So it'd be interesting if, you know, he comes to New York, if he goes with the Yankees and you have that two-headed monster with him and Cole, or even better, him signing with DeGrom and having that two-headed monster, and then you have hopefully Syndergaard regaining back to form. And then you got David Peterson, who had a promising rookie year this past season. And well, they're reportedly going to extend a qualifying offer to Stroman. So, you know, Stroman has been talking big, you know, about, you know, he's going to have his best years of his life coming up. And, you know, he was like shading the Yankees while trying to pitch, no pun intended. He was trying to make a pitch on the Yankees also, like, you're saying like how the Yankees pitchers have choked and, but you know, he would make them, you know, I guess better. Even though, I mean, Stroman hasn't won anything either. I mean, Stroman he's shown some flashes here and there, but you know, Stroman hasn't lived up to his potential, especially in a Met uniform, you know, so.
And then he quit on his team also.
Well, yeah, I mean, I give him a pass because, you know, the COVID, you know, he didn't want his family and them to get sick. But, yeah, he did, you know, opt out, you know. So, I mean, that goes against his character. You know, he's always been a bulldog. But, you know, obviously because of the season, you know, everybody has to be cautious about getting sick. So, you know, I give him a pass. You know, he – unlike Cespedes, you know, his reasoning of opting out seems a lot more credible. So, yeah, the qualifying offer the Mets are going to offer him is reportedly $8.9 million. So we'll see if he takes it. You know, if I was him, I would take it. And then
– you want Stroman back?
Do I want him back? I'm, like, on the fence of him. I mean, he has potential, but I don't know. I guess I'd be open to have him one more year if he's like the fifth starter, you know. But he cannot be the. See, I'm still thinking in the Wilpon mentality. Like, he cannot be the big fish that they get. If he wants to be the fifth starter, I mean, expensive fifth starter, $18.9 million. I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't know. I mean, I'm on the fence with him. But he cannot be the main. He cannot be the main pitcher because they need to get some pitchers, man, for real. Like that used to be their strength coming into the season. That was going to be their strength. But then Syndergaard got injured for the rest of the year. Stroman opted out, and Matz, a guy who could be qualified. And I've been a fan of Steve Matz, you know, ever since he came up, you know, especially his debut, where his grandpa, you know, was like, you know, was losing his mind, you know, seeing his son, I mean, his grandson getting three hits and pitching well. I think it was against the Reds. But, yeah, I mean, he really regressed mightily. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to say goodbye to him. But, you know, another shocking thing, there have been some shocking releases, you know, because of this COVID. You know, some guys that the Mets or Yankees could look into. Charlie Morton, you know, he got released by the Rays. Brad Hand got, you know, one of the best closers out there. I think he led the leagues in save for the Indians. They released him. You know, they put him on waivers, you know, for any team to pick up his $10 million. So, you know, there is some, you know, moves that could be done, you know, to improve teams because a lot of these teams, they don't want to pay the money, you know. And then good players go. Oh, and another big move, two big moves in the managerial spot. AJ Hinch, he signed with the Tigers, and you know, you better call Marty McFly and Doc Brown because we're going back to the future. White Sox rehire Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa becomes the first manager in MLB history to be hired after he was inducted into the Hall of Fame. So they literally have a Hall of Fame manager in every sense of the word. What's your thoughts?
Well, first off, with Charlie Morton, you know, that guy did a great job with the Rays. You know, I think Rays should have kept him. You know, this is a veteran guy, and I would love to have him on the Yankees, you know, have that veteran presence, you know, in that lineup, him pitching alongside Cole. I mean, he was on the Astros before Cole came, right?
I think so.
Yeah. So I'd love to have him on my team. But, yeah, I mean, the Yankees definitely we need pitching because we had a lot of guys go out with injuries. Severino, Paxton,
mm-hmm.
Herman, you know, he wasn't injured, but, you know, he was suspended because of domestic abuse. But he couldn't pitch this season. So hopefully we'll see him again next season. But, yeah, definitely love to add a guy like Morton to the team. And
your boy Tanaka, he's a free agent. You know, you think they should resign him?
Yeah, I think
we
should. Yeah, I think I think we should, yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, despite this season not being good in the postseason, I mean, in the previous postseasons, he's been a lockdown pitcher.
I agree.
You know, I definitely want to bring him back. And then, we then have to fill some other pieces. I don't know if they should bring back Sanchez. You know, might have to just let Sanchez walk. Just go to another team.
They let go Garner, who they might, I would assume they're going to re-sign him for a much cheaper deal.
Yeah. Gardner's, I think he's getting up there. I think he might, well, time for him to retire, honestly.
Yeah, I think he said then during the season, before the season ended, that, you know, he plans next year, this 2021 to be his last year because he didn't want to retire, you know, during the pandemic. You know, he wanted to have his final send-off with the fans.
Mm, yeah.
So I think, you know, with that said, you know, the Yankees are going to do right by him and, you know, give him that one last year, you know, and he'll tip his cap to the Yankee fans and right off into the sunset, you know, at the end of the next year's season.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'd love for him to retire now, to be honest. Give some of these guys a chance, like Clint Frazier, you know, let these guys develop. I mean, I love Gardner, but, you know, it's time for him to go.
Yeah. You're right.
Sometimes guys, you know, they need to
hang
move
on.
Too
long.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he might, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they don't agree to a deal, you know, he's going to, he's going to be one of those great players who stay too long and sign with another team. And, you know, you're going to be comparing him, his last year to what he was, you know, his
right.
time with the Yankees. So,
right. Right.
You know, for his sake, I hope he gets that they agree. They can agree on one deal and, you know, he'll retire a Yankee.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely agree with you on Tanaka. Tanaka, that's a big game pitcher. You know, I would definitely, you know, if I was the Yankees, I would definitely re-sign him. For sure.
Yeah, you definitely have to bring it back. No question about it.
And then here's the guy we the most important person we didn't even talk about yet, DJ LeMahieu. I mean,
oh yeah, that's the number
more?
One priority right there, top priority.
Absolutely. So they definitely, yeah, they definitely got to do that for sure.
Yeah, if you don't sign him, then I don't know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first guy you need to re-sign.
Yep. You're right about that. And yeah, on the Mets side, they gotta extend Conforto. Gotta make sure because I think next year is gonna be his last season. I think, you know, if they don't give him a contract extension, but. You know, I think Cohen's gonna. You know, I have faith in Cohen right now that he's gonna do the right thing because he did a he had like a he made a message of what he, you know, thanking the fans, and in his message he spoke about concentrating on. He mentioned the free agency coming up. You know, tomorrow. So, you know, I think he's definitely going to, you know, deliver on that. You know, on turning the Mets season around. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, shall see.
But yeah, briefly switching gears with the Knicks, Lonzo Ball, LaVar Ball, he reportedly wants his son LaMelo Ball to get drafted either by the Knicks or Detroit Pistons.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's going to happen to the Knicks. You know, the Knicks,
yeah, I don't think so.
What's the Knicks number right now? Aren't they like 7
eighth.
Or something?
Eighth?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there's a trade. Unless there's a trade, I don't see that happening. I see him going earlier in the first round.
Yeah.
Top three, top five.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, the draft's going to be coming up, this month. I mean, next month, I should say. It might even be the 19th. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but, yeah, so hopefully the Knicks, you know, they after they hired Leon Rose, they've hired some people who have success in being an executive and being coaches, you know, to work with Leon Rose and Thibodeau. So, hopefully it'll pay off, because drafting.
So.
I'll repeat what you said.
No, I hope so. I hope these guys
yeah.
can make a difference, man. Because
for real,
we made so many changes to our coaching staff over the last 5 years. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Not even 5 years, man. Over the last 20 years, pretty much.
Yeah, man. For real.
And coaches go in and out.
Yeah, since 2000, man. Since
Jeff Van Gundy's.
Yeah, since Jeff Van Gundy left in, like, what, 2002? Yeah, we've had a bunch of coaches. You know, Lenny Wilkins, Don Chaney, Isaiah Thomas.
Mike Woodson.
Mike Woodson, who is obviously the best coach they've had, after Van Gundy left. Even obviously Lenny Wilkins is a Hall of Fame manager. And Larry Brown is obviously a Hall of Fame manager as well, but you know, they were horrible, you know. And, well, but then again, you know, they didn't have the players either. So, you know, you gotta have the combination for you to be successful. Of good players and a good manager. So, and a GM too would help too. So yeah, you know that Mike Woodson, Donnie Walsh was, even though as brief a footnote in Knicks history as it was, I mean, you know, that was easily the best year the Knicks had, you know, since 2000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So hopefully Dolan, you know, will be true to his word and step back and let, you know, Leon Rose and Thibodeau, you know, bring this team back to respectability, because they have the personnel, you know, front office wise and, you know, coaching wise. So they gotta draft well and attract. You know, some stars to come here, because if they don't draft well, we're still gonna be, Knicks are still gonna be in basketball hell right now. So hopefully they could be redeemed, you know, starting this draft. So we'll see what happens. Oh yeah, one more thing about Syndergaard. I don't know if you heard what Syndergaard said about Cohen, because. Here's what he said. He said, all I plead is that the new owner treats players and personnel in the organization like people and less like expandable commodities. That being said, I couldn't be more excited about the real Bobby Axelrod leading the charge. Apparently Bobby Axelrod is the character in the Billions HBO show, which basically that character was modeled after Steve Cohen. But I don't know if you noticed, it looked like Syndergaard was throwing shade at the Wilpons.
Oh, really? Wow.
Because he said, all I plead is that the new owner treats players and personnel in the organization like people and less like expendable commodities. So, you know, and then it looked like, you know.
Throwing shade.
Yeah. That's what it seemed like. But all in all, you know, the current Mets and former Met players, you know, they're excited about this new acquisition. Hopefully, Cohen could take the Mets to the next level. And let me just look at that quote quickly. Yeah, he was saying Cohen's quote, you know, he had a good quote, you know, he thanked everybody, you know, Fred Wilpon and MLB, but then he said, most of all, I'd like to thank Mets fans for their unwavering support throughout this process. Family and I are lifelong Mets fans, and we're really excited about this. With the free agency starting Sunday night, we'll be working towards a quick close. Let's go Mets. So right there, you know, he mentioned free agency. So, you know, it's teasing that, you know, he's going to try and make some moves here and quick. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But shifting gears to the Nets, you know, the Nets made some moves, man. They're like the Brooklyn Suns now, because, you know, they got Steve Nash as the head coach. They hired, They hired, Amir Stoudemire, you know, to be one of his assistant coaches. And then they did another move where they hired, Mike D'Antoni, you know, to be an assistant coach. So what's your thoughts on the Nets?
Yeah, I heard about all those moves. That's a interesting coaching staff. All part of the Suns organization, several years ago. I think they're going to bring a lot of experience, you know, to the Nets. I mean, Nets, they have a lot of talent, a lot of good young players. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they got the right guys, you know, for this job. So there's no excuses, you know. Right now on paper, they look like a championship contending team. once they have Irving and Durant healthy. So it's looking good for them next year.
Oh, yeah, and another thing is that Sean Marks, their GM, also played for the Suns, too.
Oh, I thought you were about to say Sean Marks. I was like, what? The hell?
Well, who knows? You never know.
But, hey, he got a lot of experience. Super kicking me.
Yeah, I mean, he's a Spurs fan, so.
Oh, yeah.
Or at least he was when they beat the Knicks back in the day, so. So who knows? But yeah, the Nets, you know, they're putting a solid coaching staff.
Oh yeah.
And, you know, then they had exciting year this past year. So you know, they have some building blocks. As long as Irving and Durant could get healthy, you know, they can try to make some noise.
No doubt.
But, speaking of Shawn Michaels, let's talk about, we'll talk about the company he basically was a star in, and that's WWE. And, of course, one of the matches that he was known for, other than the ladder match he had with Razor Ramon, was the first ever Hell in the Cell against The Undertaker.
Yep.
So... yeah, let's talk about the Hell in the Cell. Oh, yeah, and by the way, this upcoming Survivor Series marks the 30th anniversary of The Undertaker's, debut in WWE.
So, 1990. Remember that.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, basically, this past Sunday was the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view event. I saw some of it. I didn't catch the whole thing, but I'm going to have to... rewatch the whole. I'm gonna have to, watch.
Oh, you didn't watch all of it?
Yeah, I didn't watch all of it, but ironically, this is my favorite pay-per-view match. I mean, yeah, I did say it right. My favorite stipulation match. You know, in WWE, but here's the matches that went on. R-Truth defeated Drew Gulag to retain the 24/7, I-97, Hardcore, South, and all those other titles he has for European Championship. I think he's like a 48-time champion at this point. Like, it's ridiculous.
Something like that.
Yeah. Roman Reigns, he defeated Jey Uso. Like, he just toyed with Jimmy, I should say Jay. Well, I guess you could put Jimmy too, because he was choking out Jimmy in order to force Jay to quit, because there was no other way Jay was going to quit the match, even though Roman Reigns was just, treating him like a jobber. And as a result, Jimmy basically they have to honor him as their tribal chief. And if they didn't, they'd be kicked out of the family, which, forced Jay to turn heel and attack Daniel Bryan, on SmackDown, to end SmackDown.
Yeah, that was a smart way for Roman Reigns to win that match.
Mm-hmm. Something that Roman Reigns would have never done.
Yeah.
Back in the days. Or pre-COVID, I should say, anyway.
Yeah. And now, based on last night's SmackDown, now Jey Uso is now under... Now he's like Team Roman Reigns now. All of a sudden.
He is. Even though, to start the show off, he literally said he hates him.
Yeah.
I think they should have... Maybe they should have did the turn at that time, but then again, I guess they wouldn't have the surprise attack on Daniel Bryan, I guess.
Yeah.
So maybe they should have just cut the skit from the beginning then. if he's telling him I hate, he started the show saying I hate you, and then like 2 hours later he's like, you know, I'm with you, dog, I'm with you, and he started attacking Daniel Bryan, you know. Yeah, but you know, hopefully, I mean, it's been a good storyline, you know, Roman Reigns and Jay. But I think they need to, you know, I think they need to move on from it. Well, I guess they are moving on from him because now he's part of their group now. So he's they acknowledge him as a tribal chief. So I guess that is a rightful way to end this feud. Let me see. Elias defeat Jeff Hardy in a disqualification match, which I don't think anybody cares about. You know, this whole story stems from that storyline from like 5 months ago where, Jeff Hardy was framed for, I think, attacking Elias with his car. And Jeff Hardy, you know, assumes it's Sheamus, but we don't know who did it. So Elias finally came back like a few weeks ago and attacked Jeff Hardy, you know, showing that he has another heel turn. And then, you know, The Miz, you know, he defeated Otis, as I predicted last week. And he got he's the new Money in the Bank winner. You know, my thinking is they should have gave it to Morrison, you know. I mean, Morrison never had an opportunity to win the championship. You know, it would have been something fresh. I mean, they literally, it's been there, done that. Miz defeated Orton back in the days, you know, with the Money in the Bank for his first championship. So I just think, you know, WWE is being a little, not being creative with that.
Yeah, I didn't think Miz was going to win it again, but that's just WWE for you.
Yeah, it would have been fresh if they would have made Morrison do it. You know, Morrison face him instead, and then he would have won the Money in the Bank that way. Excuse me. And then this is a match that they could have waited until WrestleMania to do. Sasha Banks versus, you know, Bayley. She defeats Bayley, ends Bayley's 300-something title reign as SmackDown Women's Champion. You know, it was a well-deserved victory.
Yeah, they should have waited on that.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, it's a – but I don't think this is the last time that they're going to battle it out. You know?
Oh, no, they're not because this SmackDown coming up, they're gonna fight each other. They're gonna have a rematch, and Sasha Banks is gonna try to do something she's never done in the history of her title reign. She's gonna try to successfully retain the title.
Yeah.
Because you know, her first five title reigns, she's won the title, and then I think at the pay per view event, or was it? I'm trying to think. I think she won it at the pay-per-view event or on a Raw, and then she loses it at the pay-per-view or
she lost
like
at the TV show.
Something
Raw
like
that. SmackDown or
one or the other. It's like either she wins the title at the pay-per-view and then she loses it at the pay-per-view, or she wins it at the pay-per-view and then loses it on the subsequent Raw or SmackDown or whatever. So, you know, hopefully this should be the time she finally snaps that weakness, which I assume she will, but then again, you never know. WWE could do something shocking.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for Charlotte to come out of nowhere and try to win this championship. Charlotte and her new breast implants.
You called it, man. You called it. You know what? I didn't even think of Charlotte. You're probably right. Charlotte's probably gonna attack, or maybe side with Bayley and maybe help her win it, or you know, put her name in the pop up as a new threat for Sasha, which Charlotte is the one that started her whole title defense, you know. Horrible record with title defenses because the first three times she won the titles were against Charlotte, and then she every time she faced Charlotte, she lost to Charlotte. So then, you know, I was just thinking, okay, Charlotte has her number. And then after she won the fourth one against Alexa Bliss, and then she tried to defend against Alexa Bliss, and then it was the same thing. It was like, okay, you know, it's not just Charlotte, you know. But we'll see what happens. Bobby Lashley, he defeated Slapjack of Retribution. He made him tap out, and, you know, he retains the United States Championship. And then last but not least, Randy Orton defeats Drew McIntyre in the Hell in the Cell match to become the new and 14-time champion. He is the new WWE champion.
I was surprised that happened, that Randy Orton won it.
Remember I was saying last week, I was like, man, I think Orton might win, but maybe Drew McIntyre's going to win this time. And I'm like, you know, this is probably the first time I'm all the other weeks, all the other pay-per-view events, I've been picking Orton to win ever since he's been challenging. I'm like, I bet maybe the time I'm finally not picking him is going to be the time when he actually wins it. And sure enough, he did it. And, you know, Hell in the Cell, a match he's very familiar with. Probably only Triple H has been more successful than he has. I mean, obviously, that's Undertaker's match also. So Undertaker has success in that match as well. But, yeah, Orton did it. But now it's crazy. Now the title picture for on Raw is like crazy. You got Orton as a champion, and then it looks like maybe Bray Wyatt might challenge. Drew McIntyre might challenge. I forgot who else might be challenging him for the title too. It's like there's no definitive person. And then not to mention Survivor Series, it's like bragging rights. They're not defending their titles. It's a champion versus champion matchup.
Yeah, I see McIntyre regaining the title soon.
Yeah, I think so too.
Maybe even before the year ends.
Yeah, by WrestleMania he'll regain the title, at the latest.
Or even before then.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. At the latest he'll win at WrestleMania. I think he'll win it before. I think he'll win at Royal Rumble. Which is basically 1 minute away from being like 2 months away or so.
Yeah.
So, let me see. Yeah, so I guess that's about it on WWE I could think of. What happened? On NXT, Johnny Gargano, he defeated Damian Priest to become the new NXT North American champion. I think he becomes the first person to win the North American championship twice in his career. Congrats to him. But unfortunately for him, his wife, Charlotte Candice LeRae, she lost to Io Shirai. So Io Shirai is still the women's champion. I'm trying to think what else happened. It was Halloween Havoc. Cameron Grimes, he lost to what's his name again? Dexter Lumis in a Haunted House of Horror match or something like that. Something to that effect. Trying to think. Yeah, I think that's basically it that I could think of off the top. Oh yeah, Rhea Ripley, she defeated what's her name? Raquel Gonzalez in a match. You know, those two have a rivalry. Let me see. And then afterwards, you know, AEW, basically, they're going to have a pay-per-view event this Saturday. And, you know, MJF is still trying to be Jericho's, join Jericho's group in Inner Circle. So they had a town hall meeting. And basically he's going to two of the members from the Inner Circle. I think it's what's his name again? Sammy Guevara and maybe Ortiz or Santana. I can't remember which one, which of which is going to be facing him. Oh yeah, it's going to be MJF and Wardlow versus, you know, those two aforementioned members of the Inner Circle. But yeah, the pay-per-view event. Let me see. Yeah, okay. So the matches is Hangman Adam Page versus Kenny Omega. This is going to be the Elimination Tournament final match. Whoever wins this will get a future AEW World Championship match. You can go either way with Hangman Adam Page, who, I mean, he's done well since he, you know, this is the battle of the two tag team champions, former tag team champions. They're going to battle it out. Kenny Omega, you know, versus his former tag team partner, Hangman Adam Page. I'm picking Kenny Omega to win this match. You know, they've both done well. Obviously, after they split up, they left the Elite faction. And I think Kenny Omega is going to, you know, win this match and become the number one contender, you know, for the AEW championship.
That would be great. Yeah, I think so too. You know, I'm not caught up with AEW as I should be, but I'm going to agree with you.
Cool. Yeah, this is a match I could see going either way, but I think Kenny Omega is gonna pull this win off. Then you also have Cody. He's gonna be defending the AEW TNT Championship. Against Darby Allin. I think Cody is gonna retain it against Darby Allin.
How long has Cody had the title?
He got it back like maybe a month ago, cause he fought against Brody Lee, you know, formerly known as Luke Harper, you know, the leader of the Dark Order. So he regained the title back, but prior to that, he held onto the title for several months until he lost it to Brody Lee. Brody Lee like whooped him badly, and he was gone for like maybe 3 weeks or so, and then he came back and he defeated him in the pay-per-view event, the last pay-per-view event they had to regain the title.
Hey, I'm gonna go with Cody.
Yeah, I think Cody's gonna retain it against Darby Allin. Then you got this tag team matchup. It's the AEW World Tag Team Championship. You got FTR, formerly known as the Revival, and of course they got Tully Blanchard as their manager, and they're going to be facing off against the Young Bucks. And the stipulation is, if Young Bucks lose, not only will they, you know, obviously not be the new AEW World Tag Team Champions, they would also lose the opportunity to ever challenge for the World Tag Team Championships again. So this is a must-win for the Young Bucks, period.
No, I'm going to go with the Young Bucks.
Yeah, I think Young Bucks is going to win this, even though FTR, they've won it a few months ago, and they've basically, you know, ran roughshod on the competition thus far, and they basically broke up. They put some mind games into Hangman Adam Page, which broke up the Elite and the tag team of Page and Omega, because basically, FTR, they love to drink. They know Hangman Adam Page love to drink. So they bonded on, you know, their love for alcohol. So Adam Page let his guard down, and basically that, you know, eventually cost him the tag team title to FTR. So Yeah, I think the Young Bucks are gonna pull it off because this is do or die. Unless they're planning on going singles, I mean the Young Bucks, they have to stay together, you know. So they're like a younger version of, I guess you could say they're like a younger version of you know, the Hardy Boys or the Rockers, you know. But yeah, I'd say they're definitely gonna win this. Then you got. Let me see. You got. I'm trying to see here. You got Matt Hardy versus Sammy Guevara. Elite deletion match. I mean, these guys have had a long matchup for like the longest time. Like they. Matt Hardy got hurt. He was gonna bury the hatchet, and then Sammy Guevara attacked him like a few weeks ago. But it looks like this rivalry, you know, might come to an end in this elite deletion match. And I'm thinking Sammy Guevara is gonna win this and put this rivalry to rest.
I'm going with Sammy also.
All right. And then on the women's championship, you got, a battle of two rivals. You got Hikaru Shida. She's going to defend the title once again against Nyla Rose. And Vicky Guerrero is her manager. Vicky Guerrero joined her as, her manager a few months ago. So, yeah, I think Nyla Rose is going to regain the title that she won from Shida several months ago. So I think Nyla Rose will regain the AEW Women's Championship.
I'm going with you as well. I'm going Nyla again.
Uh-huh. And then you got Chris Jericho versus MJF in a singles match. If MJF wins, he'll be allowed to join the Inner Circle. So, I think MJF is going to win this, and he'll join the Inner Circle.
I'm going with them as well.
And you got Orange Cassidy versus John Silver. I'm picking Orange Cassidy. I think, ever since he defeated Jericho a few months ago, his stock has been on the rise. So, yeah, I think Cassidy's going to win that one.
Orange juice all the way.
And last but not least, John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, the AEW champion. He's going to be battling his old friend, Eddie Kingston, in an I Quit match for the aforementioned AEW World Championship. I think it's going to be a hard-fought match. Basically it's going to be, I guess similar to Roman Reigns and Jey Uso's match, I Quit match, except it's not in a Hell in a Cell. But it's going to be brutal. But, now that I think about it, yeah, they're both former Shield members. Now that I think about it, yeah, both Shield members will come out on top and retain their respective heavyweight championships for their respective companies. So John Moxley will retain once again the AEW World Championship.
He's had it for a while, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Ever since he defeated Jericho, wow, how long ago was that? Could have been a year. It might even be a year. Like he's held on to it for a long time.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with him.
Yeah, I think he's gonna retain it. I think he'll lose the title to maybe like someone like Lance Archer or trying to think who else I was thinking of. Like a heavyweight, a Brian Cage, like who he fought with recently. Somebody like a super heavyweight kind of guy. I think we'll defeat him. But yeah, you know, I think he's gonna. I think he's gonna hold on to this title until he. Excuse me. Yeah, he is the longest reigning champion. He's had it for at least 245 days. He gained the title on February 29th, 2020? He only won in February?
Oh, so this year.
Yeah, I thought he won it before. Because Jericho was the first inaugural champion. He won it August 31st at the All Out event. He defeated Adam Page, Hangman Adam Page, to determine who was going to be, because the title was vacant. And then John Moxley defeated Chris Jericho on February 29th, 2020 at the Revolution pay-per-view event to start his 25-plus days title reign. So, you know, that's that. One more. Yeah, I don't think we spoke about football yet, I don't think. Basically, did we talk about football already? I can't even remember.
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so basically the Jets are going to try to pull off a miracle and try to win a game, their first game of the year, but it's going to be against the Kansas City Chiefs, and Le'Veon Bell and Mahone are going to just destroy them. But, what's your thoughts on the winless Jets?
Man, Jets, I don't think they have a chance against the Chiefs later today. And Le'Veon Bell, he's definitely going to want his revenge now that he's on the Chiefs. But, yeah, that's it might get ugly tomorrow. Or later today, I should say. Jets, they're going to go on 0-8. They might go winless, for the whole season. I'm looking at their schedule. It's not looking very good for the Jets going forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's not looking good right now.
Yeah, you said it, man. It's going to be horrible. The Jets are going to be winless, and as ugly as this season has been, which arguably this is the worst Jets season thus far, this game is going to be really ugly. They might lose 56-0 right here. I should say today. It's going to be really ugly. And Bell, he's going to turn back the clock, man. Shoot, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. It's going to be a bad win, a bad loss, I should say.
Bad loss for the Jets. It's going to be a laugher for the Chiefs, and it's going to be like a butt fumble type game for the Jets later today. It's going to be really embarrassing.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, you got the Giants. They're going to try to defend their home turf against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, Giants, they haven't been that much better than the Jets, although they do have one win on their record. But, they got a tough matchup with the Buccaneers, who have been playing much better, and Brady's look much better as well. It'll be a tough matchup, If the Giants can pull an upset, that would be great. I mean, their games have been close, and they had a chance last week to win it against the Eagles. But they blew that. So, I could see an upset, but, the way the Giants have been playing this year, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose this game to the Buccaneers. So, it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough matchup come Monday night. So, we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. And, anything you'd like to say before we head out?
I hope everyone had a safe and happy Halloween. Remember to turn your clocks back, and we'll see you next week on Sports Urban Legend, only here on Block Talk Radio.
Yeah, you heard the man. And before I asked you anything else you want to say, something dawned on my head. Today is November 1st, which means tomorrow, Monday, November 2nd, is the let me do the math in my head. I think this is the what? The officially the 11th season of Sports Urban Legends. So
oh,
I guess we'll
congrats.
Thank you. So we'll celebrate that, and that will be the season premiere of Sports Urban Legends. So check that out. Check that out next week. Season premiere coming up next week. You know, we'll let you know what's going on in the world of sports, and hope you guys and ladies can join us next week. So, you know, he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm Wayne Mamo, and I'll see you next week for the season premiere of Sports Urban Legend, only on Blog Talk Radio. Oh, yeah, and by the way, also check out my YouTube channel, Sports Urban Legend TV, and come back here next week. Same bat channel, same bat station, Saturdays at 11, only on Blog Talk Radio. Peace out.